Hallelujah. What a blessing of the Lord. You may be seated if you can. God will bless you if you do. Hallelujah. Such an honor and a pleasure to come once again. You know, I never forget when I met Brother Copeland. I guess he does. Met him in an elevator in Houston, Texas. I'll never forget that. Didn't know who Kenneth Copeland was. He said, "Hello, I'm Kenneth Copeland." I said, "I'm Jesse the Planter." Yes, sir.
We were at John Osteen's meeting.
That's right, at John Osteen's meeting.
John Osteen. And I was preaching there for him. Met you in the elevator. And you had this kind of funny looking smile on your face.
Yes, sir.
And I thought, I wonder who that guy is. That's a long time ago,
That's
partner.
A long time ago. Yes, sir. And I remember the sermon you preached, The Established Heart. Think about that.
Gloria says he's still smiling.
I still got my teeth, Gloria, and my hair. You know, God was so good. And I never forget, I didn't know that Brother Copeland at that time was the guest speaker. I was just going because an Assembly of God preacher asked me to go, and I didn't know who Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin was or anything of that nature. And when Brother Copeland was introduced, he came out, and I said, "That's that guy in that elevator." I'll never forget this. It is kind of funny. After the service, people rushed out to get the tape. You know, it was cassette tapes. You know, they used to sound like this. Shh. Remember, I had that on it. You know, and I said, "What they doing, Kathy?" They said, "They're going to get the sermon." I said, "What for?" "They just heard it." I said, "Well, don't they get something that they hadn't heard, you know?" But I didn't know the tape book ministry back then and all that kind of stuff. But thank y'all for coming today. What a blessing of God. We're on the board of directors of Kenneth Copeland Ministry, me and Kathy. It's such an honor to serve this ministry. And I like serving a prophet. I believe in the prophet ministry. And it's just such a blessing of the Lord. And I told him that our last board meeting, which is just recently, that I take serious what Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland say. And he gives me something to believe God for. I don't care if it's a financial thing, how much it is, or how small it is, I take it very serious. I keep the heavenly grants on my desk. I look at it every day. I said, "God said this will happen," and it does. If you got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 14. We have some books and different things back there in the back. In fact, we're doing Christmas in July. We got our book, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. It's not about the Christmas story. It's about the characters that God used to get Jesus on the ground. Just real quickly, some people asked me to say that. What it was, Jesus would have never been born in Bethlehem. You don't take a 9-month pregnant woman, put her on a donkey and go 110 miles. It ain't going to happen. Unless Caesar Augustus tells you to do it. Because if you don't, he'll kill you. So God used Caesar Augustus and he gave me this statement, the unconscious obedience of the unbeliever. So this book is not about the Christmas story. It's about the characters that God used. If you'd like to get it, it's back there. So avail yourself to it if you so desire. Matthew chapter 14. You know, a lot of people have been asking me about COVID and the different things and all this kind of stuff that's been going on. And the Lord's been so good and gracious. I want to talk about today. I said, "Lord, what do you want me to talk about?" I'm going to do a totally different message. Impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. That's the title of it. Impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. That made no difference how they blow, but because usually they try to stop impossible things to happen, but they can't. And God's word is so true. So I'd like to read Matthew chapter 29. Let me get to it. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 14. I want to start reading with verse 23. Well, verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other ship while he sent the multitudes away. I've done that myself. I have dismissed my staff at times, and I said, "Y'all go, let me send these multitudes away." Because the Bible said, "Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children." So I'm going to imitate the Lord. And I don't do it every time, but I'm just saying I've done that. And I tell you, it's been wonderful every time I have to send the multitudes away. You know, I take this Bible very serious and very literal. And straightway, verse 23, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Would you underline that, please, in your Bible or iPad or phone, whatever you do. The winds were contrary. Title of the sermon, Impossible Things Happen When the Winds Are Contrary. "And in the fourth watch," underline that statement. We're going to deal with that in a minute. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear, because they could not believe any human being could walk on the sea, especially when the winds are contrary. Think about that for a moment. Put yourself in that position. See this, you in the boat watching this happen. And they cried out, but straightway Jesus spoke unto them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou," he didn't know for sure. How can you be with Jesus all them years and not know who he is? How many times people went to church for almost their whole life and never could really figure out who God was? They were listening, but they were not hearing. And faith comes by hearing, not by listening. A lot of people listen, but don't hear. Look what he said. He said, Peter answered, verse 28, him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Underline that. Didn't sink. He beginning to sink. He cried, "Lord," saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately, that's suddenly his twin brother. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hands. So do you see how close Jesus was to him? "Be not weary in well doing, for due season you reap if you faint not." Most people faint right when they're about ready to receive something. I heard a policeman tell me, he said, most people get in car accidents when they're on vacation, only 2 or 3 miles from their house when they're coming back. And they may drive 1,000 miles. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now, what are you doing? I mean, why would you do such a thing? I'm right here. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Think about that for a minute. I want to go back to that verse where it says, and the wind, verse 24, was contrary. Impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. See, that's what's going on right now in this day and time, that the winds have become contrary. If you notice, the politicians don't know what to do. There's really not anybody that they can give authority to do one thing. And when you first started out, a mask was not healthy for you. Do you remember that? You see, the CDC, they can't even run a hospital in the black. How are they going to run a nation? Think about that for a minute. See what I'm saying? Think about that. If you wore a mask, the Surgeon General said, don't wear those things because you are breathing carbon, or you're actually breathing what you're exhaling, which is carbon dioxide. Now they changed their mind. And every model they've said hadn't worked yet. Somebody don't know what they're talking about. Because someone will not lead this nation. Because they're worried about what other people say, stepping over on certain things. So the winds get contrary. I've been in a lot of contrary winds. I come out of the hurricane country and I've seen some very phenomenal winds. Now watch this here. And when you understand it, here comes Jesus. This is the fourth watch. Why would he come in the fourth watch? Because everything God does is synonymous with his word and synonymous with future. And I'll deal with that in just a minute. So the winds are contrary. So if you're saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, I've lost my job, I don't have any money, you're about ready to receive the blessing you've been believing God for. Because impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. Write this down. The spirit of adventure will make you want to live your life on the same basis as Jesus. See, that's what made Peter get out there. The spirit of adventure will make you want to live your life on the same basis as Jesus. You see, I follow Jesus's teachings. Now, I love the Apostle Paul. My God. I mean, he's the greatest intellectual mind ever drawn to the rim of Christianity, in my personal opinion. And I follow him on everything he says except one thing, and that's finances. I don't follow Paul on finances. Not that he's bad, no, but you got to understand something here. And I'm going to shock you when I say this here. So you're going to have to meditate and concentrate on this thing. I've looked through this Bible and I look for the strong points of people that God used. But I found that a lot of time in finances, people are weak in that. You know, I have been preaching 44 years and I've never had a financial deficit. Why? because I have more faith than you? No, I don't believe I do. I said that in the first service. But I realized something, that Jesus never had a financial deficit. Who needs a boat when you can walk on the water? He fed 5,000 people with a two-piece fish dinner. He wore pretty nice clothes because they gambled for it. You don't gamble for rags. You gamble to get something better than what you got. Jesus was very adventurous. I don't think when he walked down the mountain after he had sent the multitudes, when he got to the water, oh, Lord, what I'm going to do? He just kept walking. Because, see, everything around the people in the boat was over their head, but everything around Jesus was under his feet. And if you truly understand what he made you, everything around you is under your feet. You see, but the problem is when people begin to look at the winds, they become contrary. Oh, God, we don't know what we're going to do. What's going to happen? And here, that, what does the word of God say? So I noticed about the Apostle Paul, he had financial trouble. The Apostle Peter had financial trouble. I noticed that Apostle John had financial trouble. A lot of them did. Jesus didn't. I said, you know what? I'm going to follow Jesus. He didn't have any. I don't have any. I'm not just saying that by faith. I'm telling you, I have never had a financial deficit because I follow the teachings of Jesus. I sow my seed and I expect my harvest. Not sometime, but all the time. And if I got a 30, 60, and 100 fold, I mean, since I have a choice, what am I messing around with the 30 fold for? Or the 60? Since I got a choice, I might as well believe for the 100 fold. Or the 1,000 time. Since you got a choice. Now, if you didn't have a choice, okay, but you have a choice. You see? So that's an adventurous thing to choose the 100-fold, because you see, and you have that choice, you see, that's on the same basis as Jesus. See, Jesus quickens your faith and the winds quicken your fear. Write that down. Jesus quickens your faith or makes it alive and the winds quickens your fear. I believe Brother Coleman said, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I don't know why people would fear. Did you read the end of the book? You won. You know, I've been down in 3 airplane crashes. That's why I got my own plane for you people that don't like my plane. But I promise you, you get on my plane, it's safer than all them commercial airlines. Because we maintenance that plane. I learned that from Kenneth Coleman Aviation. You do this. You don't just say, well, I just, no. You don't push the envelope. Because you're going to fly out the envelope if you do. See, Jesus quickens your faith. But the winds quicken your fear. What are we going to do? I've had people tell me, my God, you're going to have to lay off anybody. No. And my staff knows that. No, I said, no, there ain't no laying off here. Now, you know, people think that's cockiness and arrogance. No. See, impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. So when you're having all kind of trouble, get ready. There's a great blessing coming your way in every area of your life. You understand? When Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, and that's been in August 2005, August 28, 2005. What we did, people thought we were stupid. Me and Kathy, we went to our ministry and I laid hand on my trees. I like my trees. The oak tree, live oaks. I put my hand on everything. I said, you will not touch this place. You will not touch this place. Now, I had pastors saying, my God, we're going to get blown away, but I guess you're going to be all right. I said, you got it, baby. Blood all over them trees. Not my blood, the blood of Christ. When we came back, ladies and gentlemen, we didn't have nothing broke. They used our facilities to help people that were shut down. So we got to use our church and minister to all the army and all the people that went down there preaching the gospel, ministering the word of God. People were mad at us because the winds were contrary, but we did not accept it. We didn't deny it. In fact, I had to go. It was a mandatory evacuation. I had to go. I went to San Antonio and boy, I mean, that thing was coming. It was all blotted red. You know how the meteorologists do that. And I said, Lord, I want you to shut down the southwest quadrant of Hurricane Katrina. While we're watching, we're speaking in tongues because we learned from Terry Copeland to hit it with tongues. I think your grandmother taught you that. Hit it with tongues. So we were hollering and screaming. I don't know about the people next door in the room, but they heard the Holy Ghost talk coming through the walls. And all of a sudden, the meteorologist, we were watching Channel 8, he said, I don't know what happened, but the southwest quadrant of the Hurricane Katrina has just collapsed. It collapsed. You saw it. You know, it was amazing how Keith Moore called me and said, I saw it too, Jesse. It just collapsed. And that thing came over our ministry, over my house and everything. And it went, and about maybe 10 minutes past our house, it blew back up and blew everything out the way. Now, not that I was better, but I was pleading the blood. I drew the bloodline. Ain't nothing going through the blood. You can't get past that. I don't care how strong the winds are. So now when you begin to believe like that, that's an adventurous spirit that does that. So Jesus quickens your faith and fear quickens your, Jesus quickens your faith and the winds quicken your fear. Now, I want you to write this down because this is very important. Never overestimate your faith and underestimate the danger. The winds are contrary. Never overestimate your faith and underestimate the danger. There was a bunch of ladies that went to Pastor Cho's church and the river was swollen. And they said, we don't care. We're going to walk in and God's going to take care of us. And they died. They drowned. Why? They overestimated the danger. And they overestimated their faith. They were just trying to get something. Did God tell you to walk in that? See, you got to know what God said. So I said, Lord, when Katrina came, he said, go to your ministry, lay your hand on your trees and all the building, everything going to be fine. I said, yes, sir, I'm yours to command. And that's exactly what happened. Yet we got criticized because we didn't have damage. People were mad at us, but yet we had the money, we had the finance, we had the buildings to able to be the blessing of people. We gave away $3 million in approximately, 68 weeks after Katrina hit to be able to be blessing. God told me, he said, rent every house you can get, every condo, every apartment you can. We went out there and people, you know, the houses were blown away. So we gave them free rent for 6 months and a year. It was a blessing of the Lord Jesus. Now you don't need to applaud. What happened is I just heard the voice of the Lord. And I never forget, I gave a man, this little girl come in, and it was a man and his daughter, she was 7 years old. And he come, he said, Brother Jesse, I'm in trouble. I said, listen, man, I said, I got a place for you, if you like, you know. And he said, well, we don't have no furniture. I cut a deal with a furniture maker. I said, I'm going to buy all your furniture. So I filled, people that didn't have, you know, these apartments didn't have furniture. I filled it up with furniture. And his little girl, when she was 7 years, she grabbed me by the leg, looked at her daddy, said, I told you, daddy, that Jesus would take care of us, and Brother Jesse will too. I touch your heart when a child grabbed your leg. And my God, you know what? In his house, it wasn't blown away, but it was flooded and all that kind of stuff. That man went to work. I gave him 6 months to a year. He was finished in 2 months. And he came back. He said, Brother Jesse, I can get in my house. I said, you can. He said, I wouldn't have no carpet or nothing like that, but I got it all, you know, pull all that out so that mold don't get in there. I said, well, you got any furniture? No. He said, no. I said, well, take the furniture you got in the condo. Oh, but that's brand new furniture. I said, yeah, I know. I bought it. I bought it 2 months ago. Take it. I'll fill it up with some more new furniture. Now, everybody thought I was crazy. No, I'd heard the voice of the Lord. Be a blessing. Impossible things happens when the winds are contrary. You see what I'm saying? People were looking at me. Now, y'all might laugh at this. There was no food. I mean, what happened? Think about Dallas-Fort Worth. Everything shut down. When I say shut down, I mean the banks are blown away. There's no electricity. No food. No nothing. We stood in line, a pizza place opened up, and there was a line at least a half a mile waiting to get a pizza. So we stood in line, me and Kathy. Well, people saw, they said, but why don't you just go to the front? I said, no, I'm going to be just like everybody. I'm going to just stay in this line. When I got to the front, and they looked at me and said, what kind of pizza you want? I said, I want you to give me three extra, load that pizza up with cheese. I want 3 to 5 times more cheese on that pizza. Why? I said, I want something to lock me up because there ain't no sewage. There ain't nothing out here. There ain't nothing. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but when you stuck, you stuck. I knew that'd make you laugh. But when you no sewage for something, nothing. And it worked. I told Kathy, eat this stuff. I said, I'm telling you, man, cheese was about that thick on that thing. I said, I'm telling you, Kathy, we got nothing here. But people said, why'd you come back to help people? I was the first corporate plane to land in New Orleans after Katrina. They let me. The government let me. And I went in to just to minister to people, just doing what I could, helping I could. Now, why? Because impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. See, never let what's around you take the place of Jesus before you. Never let what's around you take the place of Jesus before you. See, he came walking on the fourth watch. What was the first watch? You ever wonder what that was? The first watch was Adam to Noah. The second watch was Noah to Moses. The third watch was Moses to Jesus bodily in a bodily form. And the fourth watch is Jesus coming back. See, that's all connected in Scripture. Now, if you want to do it in a theological way, the first watch was the law. The second watch was the prophets. The third watch was Jesus in the flesh. And then the fourth watch is returning for the church. So notice he came returning to help his disciples. He said, and if you study it all out, you'll find all these things are happening here. Jesus became what we are in order that we might become what he is. Write that down. Jesus became what we are in order that we might become what he is. You see, let me tell you something what people don't seem to understand. The name of Jesus is not on you if you're a human being. The name of Jesus is on Michael, on Gabriel, on the seraphims, the cherubims, the archangels, on them. But the name of Jesus is in you. Amen. See, when he made mankind, he put his name in you, not on you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have that name residing inside of you. That's why he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? Notice that God never visits angels. Angels make appointments to see him, but he visits man. Why? Because you're made in his image and his likeness. So there may be some tough times, but tough times don't last. Tough people do. An old Texas man told me that years and years ago. So you got to understand impossible things happen. And I tell you, we're having the most impossible things happening in the midst of this lockdown at our ministry and in my life. And I hadn't done anything different, but Jesus has. See, Jesus became what we are in order that we might become what he is. You see, if anything can be done, experience and skill will do it. If something can't be done, only faith can do it. I've had people say, that can't be done. Well, that's good. Now I can use my faith. But if it can be done, experience and skill will do that part. So there's a lot of things God's told me to do that my experience and skill could get it done. But there were some things I couldn't, and then my faith got it done. You understand what I'm saying? See, I begin to believe God for things that most people never believe for. I remember telling God, I want a 1 year in advance sitting in a bank for all my television ministry. I want that in liquid. I have it. I don't mean that pridefully. I went to another level. I said, I want all the money that I pay all my employees. I want it 1 year in advance in the bank. I have it. How'd you do it? I didn't. Christ in me did it. But you got to give him something to work with. Do you understand? Yeah, but that's impossible. That's why it works. You see, that's why it works. I decided I don't want to touch that in any way, shape, or form. So when I pray, I had a man get real mad at me. And I said this at my conference. How much money it takes to shut your mouth? I said, $6,364,000,000 and change. And he said, what? I said, $6,364,000,000 and change. $6 billion for the satellites, 14 satellites, 7 low orbit, 7 high orbit. Come on, Jesus. Who? And all the other stuff of the project that God wants done. Well, my God, ladies and gentlemen, that's impossible. That's why it's going to work. I'm not looking for possible things. I can do that. But I'm looking for impossible and the winds are contrary. You can't do that, but I can do all things. Now, somebody's lying and it's not me or God. He said, I can do all things through Christ. Why can't I do it through Christ? Because his name is in me. His name is in you. So let me say it again. If anything can be done, experience and skill will get it done. If something can't be done, only faith can get it done. So I like to use my faith. Now notice this, when Peter was walking, he said, that'd be you, Jesus. Would you bid me to come? What did Jesus say? Come. Here's the point. How many words from Christ does it take for you to obey him? How many words does it take for all of us just to obey the Lord? That's all it is. It's just simple obedience. Just one. He said, if that's really you, bid me to come. He said, come. But he said, some people say, did he really say that? Well, yeah, you just heard it. Oh, man, he got to be more than that. I've had people say, you can't do that. I said, but Jesus said, I can do all things. Well, I know he said that, but no. Here we go again. Now you're adding all kinds of things that doesn't need to be added. You see what I'm saying? I've had people say, you just an old sinner. I said, no, I'm not. I was. I'm a new creature in Christ. You see, you got to understand that. It took an impossible thing to get me saved because I was not getting saved. I didn't want to be saved. People told me, you going to hell. I said, I like hot places. I didn't care about nothing. I can't even tell you some of the things I've done because the statute of limitations hadn't run out. That's all I'm going to say about that. This is before I was born again. When I got born again, the whole world and the universe opened up to me because God put his name in me. Now I had to learn. How did you learn? By studying of the word of God. I never read the Bible until we got born again. Nobody ever did that. We were told, don't read the Bible, you'll go crazy. We were raised Catholic. Right. Only the priest can interpret the Bible. You say, that anybody been Catholic know what I'm talking about? Am I telling you the truth? That's just the way it was. When Kathy's grandmother passed away, Kathy's mama asked Kathy to say something at the funeral. So Kathy looked at the scripture in the Gospels. Walked. She said, go talk to the priest. And the father was a really nice guy. And she said, my mother would like me to say something at my grandmother's funeral. And the priest said, oh, that'd be fine. Why is that? She said, well, I'm going to read in Matthew something. He said, oh, you can't read the Gospels. Only a priest can interpret the Gospel. You can't read the Gospel. Pick something else. You didn't know that, did you? See, you don't know about Catholicism. Oh, no. You don't read the Gospel. Now, you can read Paul's epistles. You can read Peter's. Only the priest can interpret the Gospel. Kathy was mad. I could tell because her eyebrow started to rise. Let me just make this announcement. If you see her eyebrow hit the top of her hairline, run. Run. Boy, she come back. She was hot. He said, he won't let me read the Gospels. He says, I'm not a priest. I said, go tell him that you can marry and bury just like him. That he had made you a king and a priest in this life. She said, we're going to cause all kinds of problems. I said, we live with problems. It don't make a difference. Go tell the boy. I said, you want me to tell him? No. I don't want you to tell him. Because I'd have just walked up and said, I'm going to make you an offer. You don't refuse. Now we got one dead person in this casket. There's going to be another one here. Now that's wrong. But I mean, I was hot, man. You hurt my wife. You hurt me. But so she picked something else and read it. Because you see, people are so tight. See, they say, that can't be done. Well, yes, it can be. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All things are possible. Yeah. Now, what does all things mean to you? Well, that's good when everything's going good. Oh, no. It don't matter whether it's going good or going bad. Impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. They were in trouble. Now, these are fishermen. So they ought to know something about bad weather. But they were worried. You see what I'm saying? So write this down. We must be prepared to leave what is comfortable and face the unknown with Christ. We must be prepared to leave what is comfortable and face the unknown with Christ. So, I mean, there's a lot of things when I go out, I don't know what I'm doing. I told that to the Lord many times. God, I don't know what I'm doing. He said, good. If you made a mistake, you wouldn't know you made a mistake or you don't know what you're doing. So you will walk by faith and not by sight. You understand what I'm saying? When I built the campus of Jesse the Planter's ministry, three banks, Whitney Bank, Hibernia Bank, and American Bank said, you cannot do this. You need us. I said, no, I don't. You need me. And they just thought, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And I said, no, I'm building it debt free because I heard Kenneth Copeland say, oh, no man, anything but love it. I said, well, you know what? That's Bible, right? Yeah. Well, I'm going to believe that like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believe it shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. I said, well, my God, if I can believe John 3:16, why can't I believe, oh, no man, anything but to love it? So I made up my mind. And everybody thought I'd lost my mind. They said, I did. I lost my mind. I had the mind of Christ. And I built it all debt free, under budget. You see, I serve a Jewish God. I like under budget. I don't know about you, but I like under budget. I like to do business. You see what I'm saying? So when you understand that we must be prepared to leave what is comfortable and face the unknown with Christ. You see, Peter was not prepared to leave that boat because it would have made no difference. If he'd have been prepared, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't say, is that really you? He said, Jesus, he'd have jumped out the boat. He would have never looked at the winds or the waves. He wouldn't look at any of that. You see, he wasn't ready to walk where Jesus walked. Are you ready to walk where Jesus walks? When times are hard, when everything's coming at you the wrong way. Think about that for a minute. You see, I had a man tell me one time I was in a hospital and his wife was dying. He said, what I'm going to do? I said, well, what do you want her to live or you want her to die? He said, I want her to live. I said, don't tell me, tell her. He said, but she's dying. I said, close your eyes. Quit looking at what you see. Do you believe this or you don't? Because if you don't, she's going to die. Do you want that? Now, I know that sounded hard, you know, but I'm not a pastor. But man, the man don't want his wife dying. Now, what do you want? He said, I want her to live. I said, well, speak life. He said, it's just too strong. You know, she was dying of cancer, stage 4. I said, well, no, man, cancer has a name. And everything named got to bow the name of Jesus. So watch this. I am literally in the room. And then the family come in and say, well, she'll be gone in just a few minutes. And the Lord said, tell them, get out. I said, Lord, I'm not a part of this family. He said, I don't care. Tell them to get out. So I looked at him. I said, you, get out of here. What? I said, get yourself out of here now. And there's Kathy. But I mean, I heard the voice of the Lord. I didn't want to do that. That ain't none of my business. But I heard the voice of the Lord. The winds were contrary. Things were blowing. And I saw that man. I want to live. Then the doctor came in. And he said, she's going to die. I said, you get out too. And he said, what? I said, get your bad self out of here now. And I walked up and got in the face. Kathy goes, oh, he's a very nice man. He really is. But, you know, oh, I was angry because that man wanted his wife to live. Everybody out. Just me, his wife, him, Kathy. I looked at her. She said, I want to be healed. I had that happen to me twice. One time with a man and one time with a woman. I said, sweetheart, you want to live? I want to live. I said, you're going to live. I looked at him. I went, she's going to live. He smiled for the first time because it was so heavy in there. You know what I mean? It was just heavy, boy. I said, she's going to live. She's going to make a fool of everybody outside. Just want y'all to know that. And she go, and I just placed my hand, not on her stomach, but, you know, well, I guess it was her stomach. You know, she was covered up with a sheet. And I said, oh, Lord, cancer, you don't have a right or authority. Because this man wants to live and she wants to live. And if two of them agree, and I'm going to be her too. In Jesus' name. Very simple prayer. Amen and amen. I looked at him. I said, it's over. He said, what? I said, it's over. Smile. I said, now when she gets all healed and everything, and when she leaves this hospital, you can invite us out to dinner. He says, okay. I said, I'm waiting for the call. I walked out. I said, y'all can't go in there. That's nothing but faith in there. Y'all are a bunch of unbelievers. Stay out of here. Whew, you could feel I could feel the feelings on my back as I was walking. But impossible things happen when the winds are contrary. 3 days later, she left the hospital. Doctor said, I tell you what. He said, I thought you was a smart aleck. I said, well, my name ain't Alec, but I am pretty smart. He laughed, you know. He said, man, he said, I couldn't believe how strong you were. I said, sir, everybody around her other than her husband and her wanted her to die. I said, could you see that man's heart? Can't you see what he's wanting? He said, yeah, but I couldn't do nothing about it. I said, because you're not saved. You need to know Jesus. Yeah, I need to do something. I need to get religion. No, you don't. Don't never get that. That'll kill you for sure. You see, when you understand, you have to be prepared to walk the water. But Jesus told you to come. And how many words does it take you for you to obey God's word? I never forget many, many years ago when I got out. I made a lot of money as a young man being in the rock world. I mean, a lot of money. And but, you know, I always heard that Christians had to be poor. So when I got saved and everything, I mean, I had a ton of money. I could do anything I wanted. We went back, you know, to the New Orleans area, and I just gave all my money away. People were glad I got saved because they got their house paid for. I had churches, all kinds of stuff. So I said, Kathy, we got to be poor. I didn't know. I never read the Bible. We got to be poor. Well, I had read a couple of two or three sentences, you know, on the Gideon Bible. And to make a long story short, I said, well, we're going to be poor, and I'm going to get a regular job. But 3 years went by, and I financed the house. I never heard of Kenneth Copeland then, you know. I financed the house. I didn't know anything about old man, anything. Financed the house, and I bought a car. And, you know, I mortgaged the house, and I financed the car. And I'll never forget, I was walking outside one time, and the Lord said, give me all your money. This is the second time. And the first thing I did was, ooh, ooh. See, now, the first time was easy. It was tons of money. I was just used to that. I ain't nothing. Now, this time, whole nother ballgame. How you going to pay for the house note? How you going to pay for the car note? And I went, that's not my thoughts. That's Satan's thoughts. My thoughts are lovely, just, good, report, and pure, and virtuous. I'm going to think on these things. And I said, shut up, devil. I said, Lord, I'll give you everything I got. And when I say all of it, I mean I went to Jody's piggy bank and emptied it out. And I told Kathy, I said, Kathy, the only way we can go is up because we don't have a dime. I said, well, something good is going to happen to us. I'd heard old Robert say that on television. Something good going to happen to you. I said, good needs to show up real quick. See, the winds were contrary there. And I tell you what, I heard a word for the Lord from me. It was like an Abraham thing. Because you have done this, because thou has done this, I'm going to bless you in the city, bless you in the field, bless you going in, bless you going out. I said, yes, sir, I'm yours to command. I thought, you know, but I didn't think it would happen that fast. Within, I think, almost 8-9 months, my house was paid off. The cars were paid off. I still don't know how it kind of happened. It just began to happen and happen and happen. And then the Lord said, I'm going to put the anointing of increase on you personally, and I'm going to put it on your ministry. And I got to watch what I say, because I get it. I've had people say, this man can do some of the most amazing things I've ever seen. I was in a jewelry store one time. I had a Rolex President watch on. I had paid $3,300 for it. There was a man buying one. He said, can I see yours, sir? I didn't know the man. I said, yeah. He said, I like yours better than the ones in there. I said, well, it's not for sale. He said, yeah, but it's, your gold is more yellow. I said, well, that's the anointing of God to make it gold, you know. Like, I just make a joke, you know, and stuff like that. He said, but I want to buy your watch. I said, it's not for sale. Now, I had paid $3,300 with the tax. This is years and years ago. The new one had gold went up. It's $8,000. He said, but I'll give you $8,000 for it. I said, have this watch. I had $8,000. And the guy at the jewelry store said, my God, you need to work for us. You can sell watches quicker than we can. So I took the $8,000. I paid $33. I found there was another watch in there that was a Rolex with a diamond pave dial and bezel. I bought it for $8,000. No, I bought it for $16,000. He gave me $8,000 and I had another $8,000, $16,000. I was back in that jewelry store 2.5 years later. I'm sitting there, and it's a friend of mine in there, you know. It was called Houseman's Jewelry Store in New Orleans. Make a long story short, I'm looking like, and this man come in, he goes, and he was buying him a Rolex with a diamond on. And my good friend said, you ought to see Reverend Plancy's wife. He's got a diamond pave thing. And he said, can I see yours? And I said, yes, sir. And I looked at him, he said, ooh, that's beautiful. I said, yeah. I said, Rolex did it special for me. They let me do that, blah, blah, this, that. He looked at me, he said, man, I'd like to have that. I said, well, it's not for sale. Now, I paid $16,000. My friend said, but Jesse, that's worth $32,000 today. I said, really? Yeah. He said, well, I'll give you $32,000 for it if you want. I said, okay. I got 32 grand right there. He says, my God, man. It was a blessing. Now, you can say what you want. Now, I'm going to shock you with this. I didn't know why I wanted the watch until the Lord said, your faith demands it. See, your faith is, see, sometimes you walk by something you can't afford. This is a revelation. Listen to me. And you look at it and go, oh, boy, that's nice. But you can't afford it. But yet you can't seem to get it out. The church calls it greed. God calls it faith. It's your faith saying, believe me for that. Demands that you get that thing. And it can be spiritual, it can be physical, it can be financial, it can be all three. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't make no difference to God, because on your best day, you can't impress him with your wealth. This is God you're talking about. You see? But he does impossible things when the winds are contrary. Yeah. And so I asked the Lord years later, I said, are you going to ask me for all my money again? He said, no, never will, Jesse. I said, why? I don't mind. He said, I know. You passed the money test. I said, okay. He said, now let's go get this job done. And I'm telling you what, I haven't slowed down. This is where I was totally wrong. I'm 71 years old. I know I look a lot older because my hair is white, but I still got my hair. Thank you for Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad I still got my hair. Watch that. And people look at me and they say, well, you're going to retire? I said, do I look tired? I said, I could have retired 20 years ago. That's not the issue. I said, but the Lord told me to do these things. And even my own staff says, he's got so much energy, we can't stay up with him. Well, I've worked with Kenneth Copeland. You can't only stay up with Brother Copeland. He take off, man, you got to go with him. You just got to flow. I thought I'd preach one believer's convention. That's it. When you asked me over there at that motorcycle rally with Jimmy Spencer, never thinking it'd be 30 years. This is 30 years now. Never. And we have been all over. I remember when Brother Copeland said, the Lord told me to go to the islands of the world. I said, great. I'm thinking Hawaii, the Caribbean. He said, no, we're going to Cold Bay, Alaska. Oh, we're going to Majuro, Guadalcanal. I'm talking Africa hot. I'm talking about sweat. Lord Jesus. But if you with Brother Copeland, you're going to do it. There ain't no other choice. Why? Because that's what he's called to do. Well, where I was wrong, I thought as I got older, nobody would ever ask me to come back. That's okay because they want younger preachers, which is fine with me. Go ahead. But that has not happened. I got over 9,000 requests right now I can't even get to. I don't mean that pridefully. I said, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, work, Jesse. I gave you energy, work. So here we go. See, so when you understand what he's saying is come. And he only got to tell me once. And that's it. I mean, yes, sir. I'm yours to command. So I've learned to take authority over everything I own, because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And if he requires it, that's fine. I don't mean that arrogantly or pride. And I said, you know, I will give you this, Lord. He said, I know you will. But there's other things I want you to do. I said, all right. See, the path of obedience always has contrary winds. The path of obedience always has contrary winds. And what does contrary winds make you think? Contrary winds make some think that, number one, they're sinking, but they're not. Number two, some are sinking and they don't know it. Number three, some are sinking miserably, yet they won't do anything about it. Let me say it again. Contrary winds make some you think they're sinking, but they're not. See, Peter thought he's sinking, but he wasn't. Jesus is right there. Some are sinking, they don't even know it. And others are sinking miserably, and yet they won't do anything about it. You see, I need to, you know, see, when you got saved, you got delivered. Why do people struggle with alcohol and drugs after they're born again? That has always boggled my mind. When the Bible said, therefore, if you be in Christ, you're a new creature, old things have passed away. I know it happens, but I have never had. When I got born again, I mean, I drank a lot. I was an alcoholic. Drugs, I took trips and never left the house. I'm telling you, I mean, I flowed, buddy. But when I got born again, I've never had a problem with any of that. Zero. And I asked the Lord about it one time. He said, you let the purity of the gospel go as far as the pollution of sin. It went down like a surgical scalpel, and it cut all that out. Yet preachers would tell me, man, don't get around booze, don't get around drugs, because you were so much into that, it'll get you. No, it ain't going to get me. I'm a new creature in Christ. When are we going to believe 2 Corinthians 5:17? Are we going to believe that? Or are we just going to quote it and shout amen about it instead of moving on it, see? But the winds are contrary. I know, but I don't deny it. I just deny its right to affect me. Do you understand what I'm saying here? In every area of my life. And God's word is so true. And I've taught my daughter that. And I've taught my granddaughter that. You know why? Because you got to have a legacy. You know, if Jesus tarries, I will go by the way of the grave. Yeah. There's a lady that you would know. I'll keep her name private. She was born in the city of New Orleans. And she's married to one of the greatest faith teachers that ever walked. He's preached here. He's preached in a lot of places. And we were at their place not long ago. And they said, I said, I was looking at her. And she said, you know, if Jesus, I want to be buried in New Orleans. I said, well, I got a place. She said, what? I said, I got a place that you can bury 12 people. You know, it's called the couch. I read the scripture and Abraham bought a tomb. Well, I ain't ever done that. So I guess I'll do that. So I got that all fixed. And there's no way, because it's only me and Kathy, Jody, Meredith, and Jay, five of them. I said, well, if you pass away, you can be buried with us. I said, think about a party, huh? We all get raised together. Wouldn't that be something? She said, I never thought about that. I said, that's right. I said, think about the dead in Christ going right. All of us come out the same time. Hey, how you doing? You look better now than you did when you went down. Think about that. I don't care. I'm not planning on using it. I'm believing God will come in my lifetime. I'm believing that. I got to believe for the 120 years because Kathy heard Brother Colton say that. I mean, she said, Kenneth said we can live to 120. I said, okay. She said, but you got to go to 123. I said, that's not even scriptural. She said, I'm 3 years older than you and you ain't going nowhere without me. So I got to go to 123, Brother Colton. You know what I'm about? My God. And I'll tell you what, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus came during one of these believers' conventions? It would wipe out the place. Nobody there. Let me say this in close. And don't worry about your possessions here. I mean, if Jesus came, George, what would happen to this place? Think about this. What would happen to all the properties that God has, the churches, or about your house? Let me help you. When you die and they can't find you, and all these people will be gone, John. They can't find us because we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. They cannot touch anything you have for 7 years. That's a legal law. After 7 years, they can declare you legally dead, and then they can take your possessions and disperse them, like if somebody can't be found. Well, so when they're just about ready to take this place, George is back. 7 years, 7 year trouble, 7 year tribulation. So I'm back. Well, who's going to cut all the grass? Those that missed the rapture. Those that said, oh God, they left without us. And if you read the scripture, someone have to die after that. You see? But think about it. God, the Lord said, I don't lose nothing, Jesse. So I got several lawyers working on that kind of stuff. I said, I want to know, is this right? He said, that's right. You cannot be declared legally dead. If they can't find you, they cannot touch your possessions at all. I don't care if you got a sister. I don't care if you got kids. If you're just missing, they got to hold it for 7 years. Then after that, they can disperse it. So you're not going to lose a thing. Now, where are you going? Let me close with that. Well, what happened when Satan, before the fall, where do you think he was ruling and reigning? Here. He didn't commit sin in heaven. He committed it here on the earth. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt myself above the Most High God. I will sit in the congregation of the north. Maybe God may send me to the Andromeda galaxy. Look at y'all. Wow. Winds are getting contrary right now, ain't it? Oh, man, you got to understand what's out here. And I'm like the Apostle Paul in that manner. What I said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? If you think this thing is over with just this planet, you're living in a dream world. There's so much to be done. The works of his hands. And he puts people in authority. So I tell all you people, and I've told this to KCM staff, you're not working for a ministry, you're working for a prophet. You're working for the executive branch of God's government, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. You see what I'm saying? So let COVID-19 do what it got to do. It can't touch you. Unless you just believe it and get in fear and start to sink. But remember this, ladies and gentlemen. We're in the fourth watch. We're in the fourth watch. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. Think about that. I'm Jesse Duplantis, and I approve this message. I just wanted to kind of talk like a pastor or teacher. George, they asked me to do something for you.